Is God not good? Thank you, Jake and team, for leading us in worship this morning. Do you find God this morning to be, like we sang, a waymaker? Is he making a way for you? Do you find him to be a miracle worker? Do you find him to be a promise keeper? Do you find him to be a guiding light? And we sang about a healer. He's the healer, healing every heart, mending every heart. Can you think of something in your life, in your heart, you emotionally, mentally, spiritually, physically, in your life or in the life of someone that you love and know that you have a burden for healing? And we sang that he is here. He's touching every heart, healing every heart, mending every heart. And maybe you are here this morning and he has done that, and you could just praise God with the fullness of joy, like we sang in the last song, that he is so good to me because he has healed that. He has answered that cry. He's answered my prayer. But there are probably some here that have that need and that burden for healing. Do you know anyone? I think Josie, are you here? Yeah, so how is Audrey doing? Audrey was in need of healing last week. So Audrey hit her head on the concrete. She fell off a horse last week. Cheryl fell and bumped her head on a concrete wall, I think, and were they both concussions? And they were very concerned about the need for healing, physical healing. Thank God for healing. That's the title of my sermon this morning. So the songs went very well with the theme, the subject. The title of my sermon is Jehovah Rapha, God is my healer. And I'm going to look at where God first said that. In Exodus chapter 15 is our beginning text. And the context of this scripture finds the children of Israel, after they had lived in Egypt for 400 and some years, and they were in bondage. They were enslaved. You know how that they were enslaved. They were enslaved, I'm not sure exactly how long, but over 100 years, surely. I believe they had many, many years of peace and prosperity until a Pharaoh rose after the first Pharaoh that didn't know their God, and he felt threatened by this growing number of this nation, or was afraid they're going to become a powerful nation. So he was very, very oppressive. And you know how that the children of Israel cried out to God in those years, that millennium and more, maybe 100 or 200 years of crying out to God for deliverance. And their lives were made so excruciatingly difficult by the oppressive regime that they lived under. And then God raised up Moses to deliver them. And they had the most marvelous delivery and the most thrilling escape that you can imagine, seeing the enemy come after them, and then they're trapped. And then God parts the waters, and they walk through on dry land, And the very place they walked through, their enemy came in after them thinking they can capture them. And the waters closed in, swallowed them, drowned them. And that was the crescendo of this marvelous deliverance that God brought to his people. And oh, did they celebrate and party. In the first part of this chapter, they were singing and praising God, and I don't know how long that went on, but they were having a Thanksgiving time. They're free from their oppressors. They thought they were going to die after they had left, and then God marvelously, miraculously delivered them. And here they are. So they travel 3 days into the wilderness on their journey. And let's start reading at verse 22. Then Moses made Israel set out from the Red Sea, and they went into the wilderness of Shur. They went 3 days into the wilderness and found no water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink the water of Marah because it was bitter. Therefore, it was named Marah. And the people grumbled against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And he cried to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a log. And he threw it into the water, and the water became sweet. There the Lord made for them a statute and a rule, and there he tested them, saying, "If you will diligently listen to the voice of the Lord your God and do that which is right in his eyes and give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes and I will put none of the diseases on you that I put on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord, your healer." I am the Lord, your healer. And that is translated from two words, Yehovah Rapha, in Hebrew. I am your healer. Here they are in a wilderness, a desert, really thirsty. And again, I can't quite grasp the magnitude of the need that they had for water. Likely over 1 million people. And how many animals. They were thirsty. And they were going to die soon if they don't have water. And here in the wilderness, they're thirsty, they're exhausted. Some of them probably were. And tired and had become bitter and despairing. And finally, they found water, but it was not fit to drink. So now they're crying out and they're complaining. And we're not told whether the water was bitter before they got there or if God made it bitter, because we're told that God is testing them. But the water was bitter and undrinkable. And they grumbled against Moses and said, "What shall we drink?" You would think maybe that after the marvelous delivery that they had, they would remember to trust God and think about, you know, God probably has a way. He did something just as miraculous before. But when you're in the midst of a situation like this, I wonder what my response would be. Would I remember to have my trust and faith in God like we think that they should have? But here they were grumbling. And instead of looking to God in trust and faith, they turned instead to complaining. So Moses prays to God. And there's this pretty awesome, he throws a log or maybe a tree into the water, and the water is miraculously purified. And then he says, to them in verse 26, I am the Lord your healer. God is showing us, God is showing them, showing us by showing them, that he is not just, I'm not just your deliverer. And the word just seems silly to put in front of there, but you know what I'm saying. I am your deliverer and more. I am your deliverer and I am your healer. And God was going to heal them many, many, many times over and over. And this description of their reaction to crisis or to stress or danger is very mild here, because in the following chapters, in the rest of their journey through the wilderness, their complaining and their actions are pretty sad, pretty awful. And the things that they turned to and their attitudes that they had instead of trusting God, how that they tested God even to the point of God wanting to destroy the whole nation and raising up another people. But God had promised them. He is the promise keeper. And Moses reminded God that you promised, and God relented, and he did not destroy and wipe them out. God is our healer, Jehovah Rapha. And God wanted to do this for them because of his love for them. God wants to do it for us today just as much as he did it for his people in the Bible. We can read different accounts throughout the Old Testament that God was that. He was Jehovah Rapha. He was the healer throughout all of the Old Testament. But there, we want to go to find when God, our healer, God the healer, came to be with us. And look at the life of Jesus when he lived here on earth. So Jesus came down from heaven to earth. He was God made man for us. So it's not that God didn't understand us or that he couldn't feel with us in our pain, in our needs, or celebrate with us in our joys if he wouldn't have sent Jesus. But isn't it beautiful that he did? He came down to be with us so he could feel, so we could see him feel with us. And there are, like I said, some miraculous healings that God did in the Old Testament. I looked up a list for miraculous healings. There were some. There was the time where Moses' hand turned leprous, and then Miriam's hand turned leprous, and this seems to be like a God again testing, because it was an act of God. And I think Jeroboam also, they had a leprous hand or a hand that withered, and then God healed it. There was the time when Naaman, the captain of the Syrian army, was a leper, and he was sent to an Israelite to be healed, and God healed him through the prophet. God healed him from his leprosy. There's the account where the widow's son had died and was raised to life. And there's the account where the children of Israel in the wilderness were murmuring against God, and God had it up to here, and he sent a plague, or allowed a plague to come, and many, I forget how many, died. And then the ones that were sick could be healed. They were bitten by snakes, actually. It wasn't a disease. They were bitten by snakes that God allowed to come or sent. And then by looking on the brazen serpent, like he had told Moses to make, they were healed miraculously. And there were miraculous deliverances. But it seems when Jesus came, there were quite a bit more healings taking place. And Jesus said, when he was here, he said, by quoting Isaiah in Luke chapter 4, There are two verses that I want to read. Luke 4, 18 and 19. He said of himself, by quoting a prophecy that Isaiah wrote, he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." And he did that after he had ascended to heaven in Acts chapter 10 and verse 38. Peter talks about when Peter was speaking to the Gentiles in Caesarea, I believe it was, he recounts how that God anointed, Peter says, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. In Matthew, I'm going to turn to that and read in Matthew chapter 4, verses 23 through 25, talks about, it gives us a really in-depth snapshot or picture of what it looked like when Jesus was doing this healing. Verse 23, I'm in the wrong chapter. Verse 23, and he went, this is Jesus, and he went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the kingdom of the gospel and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. Jehovah Rapha, God, our healer. Jesus, God, Emmanuel, God with us now, healing every disease and every affliction among the people. So his fame spread throughout all Syria. That's a big area, folks. That's a big area. They brought him all the sick. That's a lot of people. Those afflicted with various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons, epileptics, and paralytics, and he healed them. And great crowds followed him from Galilee and the Decapolis, and from Jerusalem and Judea, and from beyond the Jordan. I didn't look up the mileage that connects these cities, but it's a lot of miles. It's over 100 miles. You have the area of Galilee, and then across the Sea of Galilee, there were 10 cities, and then all the way down to Jerusalem and Judea, and from the other side of the Jordan, and up in Syria. So we're left to imagine and assume the amount of people. I believe there were thousands of people. Thousands of people, and it says that Jesus healed every disease and every affliction. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the life-changing healings that took place? Can you imagine the change in the culture, in the communities, when all these people, so many people that had, they were paralyzed, had epilepsy, they were demon-possessed, they were, it says, all kinds of sicknesses. And he healed them all. I don't know if the writer is using hyperbole, but there were a lot of people healed. And it had to change their communities, and it had to affect their culture. That is Jehovah Rapha, the healer. God is my healer. He is with us. Jesus came to heal. Jesus brings healing into our hard times. God, Jehovah Rapha, brings healing into our hard times. Matthew chapter 17. I want to look at, I think, two of these where this healing is we zoom in on the actual healing and see how it looked and see what took place. Matthew 17 and verse 17. Matthew 17, 15, verse 15, we'll read first. This shows us a desperate man. He had hard in his life. He had a son that he dearly, dearly loved, and his son was, I'll just read it. He says, "Lord, have mercy." He comes and he kneels in front of Jesus, and he cries out to Jesus, "Lord, have mercy on my son. He's an epileptic, and he suffers terribly. Often he falls into the fire and often into the water." So he was concerned about his son destroying himself, but getting burned or drowning. We don't know how long this took place. Some of us have faced what we would call, or it feels at least, like incurable hardships, incurable situations. When that cancer, there's no healing. God doesn't heal the cancer. Or that broken relationship that just cannot be restored. Some of us here have longed for the restoration of a relationship. And for some of us, we've lost hope because the person that is affected by this relationship is passed on. So there's no more reconciliation for this relationship. Some of us are still hanging on to that hope that maybe that relationship can be restored. The marriage that seems is irreparable, or the heartache that can't be healed, it just hurts and it keeps on hurting. God came to heal. Jesus came to heal. God wants to heal. And these challenges can shake our faith to the very depths of our souls and leave us like we see the children of Israel at the waters of Marah, crying out, maybe not grumbling, but maybe in despair, wondering why and how and if. Or we tend to be like the disciples. When this man cried out to Jesus, he said, in verse 16, we'll pick up there, he said, "I brought him to your disciples, and they could not heal him." Jesus gives us a glimpse into why they couldn't. He says, "Oh, faithless generation. Oh, faithless and twisted generation." This is verse 17. "How long am I to be with you? Bring him here to me." And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the boy was healed instantly. And the father was extremely joyful. Doesn't say that, but we know he was. The demon was cast out. The boy was healed. No more fits of epilepsy. No more throwing him into the fire. No more nearly drowning. This boy was healed because Jesus healed him. Well, the disciples came to him privately in verse 19 and said, "Why could we not cast it out?" He said to them, "Because of your little faith. For truly, I say to you, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. That's a bit more than I can chew right there. That's a little more than I can understand. But, oh, to have faith like this man did, a simple, I see this as a simple trust, simple, not easy to get to maybe, but simply a trust in Jehovah Rapha, the healer, the God who wants to heal. We tend, I do, too often to be like the disciples, feeling helpless or afraid or not equipped. And we who are called to bear His name and to do His work. So I don't believe for a second that miracles and healing ceased when they quit writing Scripture. I believe with all my heart that God wants that for us today. Some of us have seen, I've seen it in different situations, but I find that too often I'm with the disciples, I'm faithless. I'm not, I need to fix it, I need to understand it. Instead of coming to God and giving the problem, giving the challenge, giving my fear to Him and allowing Him to speak into it. May it not be said of us that we are faithless and twisted. May it not be said to us. Now, we don't know how the demon got into this kid, but we know how he got out. He got out through the healing and the authoritative power of God, Jesus, who spoke. Now, Jesus said, I'm not going to turn to the scripture, but Jesus said to his disciples that he's going to leave them. And then he's going to send the Holy Spirit to come. So we have God promising to be our healer in the Old Testament. We see Jesus coming to earth to be the representation of God, to be God with us. Then he left, and he sends the Holy Spirit to be here with us. Now we have access to the power of the God of the Old and the New Testament. We have our brother, our Savior Jesus, and we can be equipped with the power of the Holy Spirit and have authority. So Jesus said, when I leave, you're going to get the Holy Spirit, and you will do greater works than I will do. Now, I believe that because Jesus said it. Again, I don't fully understand it, but I believe it with all my heart, and I believe that God wants to do more through me than I have allowed Him to do through me, and I think we can all say that for our church, for our lives personally, that if we can trust God in a greater, in a deeper level, God has more that He wants to give us. But how often are we walking among people that are with us, or we come in contact with people that are inhabited by a demon and we don't know it, we don't recognize it, or we're afraid to go there? And then I have to wonder how many people among us and around us have broken relationships that could be healed if we would cry out with them to God on their behalf, trusting Him for the healing. I wonder, I don't know, but I wonder. God, let's look at the leper that God wants to heal our physical ailments. He is in Matthew 8, verses 1 through 3, a leprous man approached Jesus. And again, he knelt before Him. This man that had leprosy, he had to be quarantined. Lepers had to be quarantined. They were filthy. They're physically filthy. Their disease was so contagious that they had to maintain a safe distance from people, and they had to declare, if they were in public, that they were unclean, they were lepers. A man came to Jesus, he broke protocol, he came and knelt in front of Jesus, and he said, if you will, if you want to, if you're willing, you can heal me and make me clean. What did Jesus do? Jesus reached out and touched him. He didn't recoil like everyone else did because they were going to get contaminated by his leprosy. He reached out and he touched the unclean leper. And do you know what happened? Do you think Jesus got leprosy? The man got healed. Jesus was not affected by this man's leprosy. God was willing. He said, if you are willing, and yes, God was willing. The heart of God through the lips and the hands of Jesus, this man was healed. That's how healing looked and looks. Our healings for today, I think of my own health journey. I've had some health challenges that we prayed and we asked God for divine healing, and I wasn't healed. And then, what now, 6 years ago, I was dying of cancer and didn't know it. And we prayed to God for healing, and I thought I might have a real bad flu or disease. Had no idea I had cancer. But God didn't heal miraculously without doctors, and I'm very grateful for doctors, but through a surgery, I was delivered from cancer. And I think of my mom. She was dying, and we were crying out to God for her to be healed, and he didn't answer. Those are hard. We also had a son that we thought was dying. He fell and injured and it was injured badly, and we prayed. We anointed him with vegetable oil. And while we were praying, God brought life back into his body, and the color came back. And we had, I'm sure you know of prayers that weren't answered for healing. We have Tara with us that is declared cancer-free, praise the Lord, the God who heals. And we know of others that pass away and die. Our ways are not as high as God's ways, that we were told. But I believe that God's character, in his heart, he wants to heal us. God wants to heal us. And he wants to see us calling to him for help and healing. And healing for our own hearts, our minds, our bodies, and to be ministers of healing for others that are in need. But because sin entered the world, death came with it. And so, sometimes, always, people die. Every one of us will die. But God has made a way for us that we can live eternally after death. Because sin came into the world, God has a remedy. And that's pretty amazing if we can see through our spiritual eyes the gift that God has for us after death. Often God chooses to heal physically. Sometimes he heals by death through eternal life. Physical healing is an incredible blessing. Again, I refer to Tara and how that God granted, heard the cries of his people, of your family and your friends, and you're healed. And this is in no way to be depressing, but one day you will die. One day I will die. I didn't die 6 years ago, and I could have. But we will die again. God is, how do I want to say it? God has made a way for us that we don't have to die eternally. God has made a way of deliverance for us. God is interested in, he is more interested in our spiritual healing than in our bodily healing, although he is. But the fact is, again, I say, sin came into the world and sin is a curse. My sister, 13 years ago, she had cancer. She was healed. Last week we buried her. She was healed and yet she died. But there is joy mixed with that. And the people that were raised from the dead, Lazarus, people that were raised from the dead died. So the healer, Jehovah Rapha's greatest longing, God, our healer's greatest longing, is for us to be healed spiritually so that we can be with him forever. He wants to heal us and bring us out of the desert and the wilderness of sin and deliver us from the curse of sin and its bondage. God wants us to be delivered from the satanic influences in our lives and bring us to freedom. That's the longing that God has for each one of us. And in closing, I want to refer just briefly to, I showed you the pictures a few, maybe a month or two ago, about the children at New Vision for Life Children's Home. And I think my heart keeps going out to them, how that they have, as a young child, anywhere from one to, well, they don't take two-year-olds there, but the children that have suffered indescribable terror and pain and horror that no one should have experienced in their whole lifetime have already experienced this at a very young age. Oh, God wants to be their healer. How can they heal from this trauma of exploitation, of abuse, of the murders that they witnessed and the rejection that they felt? How can they deal with this pain? And I want to invite us again to pray for these children. They represent millions. And that's not the least we can do. That's the most we can do. And God willing, here in a few weeks, Celeste and I will be traveling back over to be a part of their workers' retreat that they ask us to come and be a part of. And Better Life Coffee, Joe's coffee business has, you saw the pictures of the new soccer field that was made possible through their donations. So you can continue to give. There's a selection on the church app that you can give to New Vision for Life Children's Home. If God lays that on your heart, there are still many needs there. The Pastor James spends 2 days a week there being a pastor at this children's home. He would like to be there every day. He has sponsors enough for 2 days a week, but he would, if there were more sponsors, he could be there another day or two or three. He also has a church that he pastors in Chiang Mai, about an hour and a half away. That's a way you can help, but above all, pray as God brings it to mind. And you have other needs that you pray for as well. But this is a need that has become very heavy on our heart, and we've been exposed to it as a church. So invite us to, again, pray for these dear kids at New Vision for Life Children's Home and help there. Every one of us can help. They need a nurse badly, need a nurse on site. If someone has an interest in that, please go. For volunteers, long-term volunteers, if you want to serve God that way, That's an incredible opportunity. Giving financially, like many of you have, and like Better Life has, like Joe has, are ways that we can help. This is a need that we know of, and it's a great need. So God, may God be merciful to those dear children and give them a future and a hope. And I want to end with the ultimate healing, where God said, you know it, or where it says in about God in John 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Because God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That is the richest gift to all of humanity. Embrace it. And if you need healing this morning, if you find that you need healing, reach out to someone. And if you want to pray after the service, we'll pray together. Why don't we all stand for closing prayer? And I'd like for us to bow our heads and close our eyes. And if you have a need that is really burning on your heart that you would like to have prayer for this morning, would you just raise your hand? And then we'll have someone pray with you, and we'll pray together here after the service. So is there anyone that you would like to have prayer for a need for healing in your life or in the life of a loved one? Would you just raise your hand? Thank you. I see you. And anyone else? You want to find God to be that way maker, that promise keeper, the healer. Thank you very much. Let's bow and pray. Heavenly Father, we bow before you. We thank you, God, for meeting, for providing for all of our needs. And I pray, God, for every and any sickness, heartache, despair, depression, enslavement, bondage, demonic oppression or possession. God, we pray against it in the powerful name of Jesus. Thank you that you are concerned and care about our well-being, most of all spiritually, throughout all eternity. I pray for each need that is represented here, that we could find healing through your word, by your Holy Spirit, in your presence, and among one another. I pray, God, that you would touch every need and heal. We know that you can, and we trust you for that. And we know that if our prayers aren't answered the way we think they should be, or the way we want them answered, that your way is best, and we bow to your sovereign will. Thank you for every healing, every deliverance, every act of mercy and grace that you have given and granted to us. We praise and honor you. We want to serve you faithfully all the days of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, and you're dismissed.